This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا فما بعد My brothers and sisters, this is the third of the series of khutab that I have been doing called The Way Forward. This is part three. I remind myself and you of the importance of thinking long-term. Because it is not about winning one conflict. It is about becoming influential and creating a situation where there are no more conflicts. It is about becoming influential where you can initiate and direct local and national policy. It's about being in positions where the decisions you take will positively impact people across the globe and become sadaqa jariya for you. Let me mention for you just two such decisions, the effects of which the world is feeling to this day. One was the Sykes-Picot Agreement of 1916. It was between November 23rd, 1915 to January 3rd, 1916. The Sykes-Picot Agreement was a secret treaty between the United Kingdom and France with assent from the Russian Empire and the Kingdom of Italy to define their mutually agreed spheres of influence and control in an eventual carving up of the Ottoman Empire. Think about that. Two low-level bureaucrats sat with a map of the Ottoman Empire and carved it up. They could do that because they were in that position. The British and French diplomats, Marc Sykes and François-Georges Picot, drafted the agreement, which was ratified by their respective governments on the 9th and 16th of May 1916. The second was the Balfour Declaration of 1917, a year later, which was a letter from the United Kingdom's Foreign Secretary, Arthur Balfour, another bureaucrat, to Lord Rothschild, a leader of the British Jewish community, for transmission to the Zionist Federation of Great Britain and Ireland. The Balfour Declaration was a public statement issued by the British government in 1917 during the First World War, announcing its support for the establishment of a national home for the Jewish people in Palestine, which was at the time an Ottoman region with a small Jewish population. The big lesson to learn here is that what matters even more than who you are is where you are. Environment dictates effectiveness. A fish can't even breathe on land, but in the water, it is the epitome of speed and grace. Today, we have as many capable people as anybody else, but they are not in the right place. That must be our goal. Right person in the right place. To change anything, you must own it first. You can't change what you don't own. I can't change your house. You can't change my house. If I want to change your house, I have to first buy your house, and only then can I change your house. I want to say to you that your country is America, not Syria or Pakistan or Lebanon or Iraq. It is America. This is your country. You are a citizen. You're not a visitor waiting for your plane to go home. The truth is that this is already the case with your children. Not one of them is capable of returning to your country of origin or returning to Lebanon or Syria or Pakistan or Somalia or anywhere and living there even for a week. You know this, I know this, and they know this. This is critical because only when you think of America as your own country can you and will you work to make it beneficial for the world. If you read history, you will see that in every age there has always been some empire or nation which dominated. Go all the way back 2000 years to the Roman Empire onwards, some nation or some empire always dominated. In this post-World War II age, it is America. America is a dominant power. Given that China and Russia are the other options, believe me, I am thankful for this. I am very happy that America is the dominant nation. The citizens of this country have the opportunity to make that a blessing for the world. And only you can do this, not outsiders. Therefore, you have two choices, to complain about what's happening or to change it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala encourages us to become powerful and establish justice on earth. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Inna la nansuru rusulana walladhina amanu fil hayati dunya wa yawma yaqumul ashhad. Allah said in Surah Al-Ghafir, which means, we certainly help our messengers and the believers both in this worldly life and on the day of judgment, the witnesses shall stand forth. And then in Surah Al-Saf, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَأُخْرَى تُحِبُّونَهَا نَصْرٌ مِّنَ اللَّهِ وَفَتْحٌ قَرِيبٌ وَبَشِّرِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. He, Jalla Jalaluhu, will also give you another favor that you long for, that you really want, which is help from Allah and imminent victory. So give good news, O Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to the believers. To create change, we need people in four critical areas: legislature, judiciary, executive, and media. Lawmaking, interpreting the law, administration, and mind steering. That means we need attorneys, judges, politicians, administrators, journalists, and media specialists, professors of political science and sociology, and financial experts. We have enough doctors and engineers and MBAs and mom and pop shops. We need ethical, moral power brokers with a sense of accountability to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Think of all those people in this community who you think are wealthy. Ask, how many of them are in positions of power? How many are on school boards? They all have children? You all have grandchildren? Are you on the school boards? How many are city councillors, aldermen, selectmen, mayors? And ask why not. How many of you are hearing these terms, aldermen, selectmen, for the first time? So when you meet someone next time, don't ask what car do you drive. Ask what decisions do you make. Personal wealth makes you comfortable but keeps you vulnerable. Power changes that equation. The road to power is totally different from the road to personal wealth. You need to decide what you want for your children, and those children need to decide what they want for themselves. By minding your shop and inheriting it after you are gone, or studying medicine or pharmacy or MBA and so on, 20 to 30 years after they graduate, they may own their own house and have a couple of nice cars and go on annual holidays. But someone with power can take that away from them with one stroke of the pen. By pursuing influence and power, after 20 to 30 years, the same period, they will be in positions where their decisions can change the destinies of entire populations. But the paths are totally different, and they must start on the path they choose now. Let us consider four episodes from the seerah of Rasulullah ﷺ to see how Rasulullah ﷺ transformed his powerless state and used that power for good. When he ﷺ was forced to make hijrah to Medina, he was virtually powerless, with his life in danger, and had to hide in a cave to escape enemy death squads. But 8 years later, he conquered Makkah at the head of an army of 10,000. The tribal chiefs who had driven him out of Makkah saw that it was futile to resist, and they lined up to pledge allegiance. These four incidents, first one was the pledge of Al-Aqaba. There were two, Baitul Aqaba, where the chiefs of Medina pledged allegiance to him and vowed to defend him and his mission with their wealth and lives if he migrated to Medina. The migration was a blessing because Medina was far enough away from Makkah to provide him with a relatively safe base of operations to propagate his message. Also, Medina was on the trade route to Sham from Makkah, and so was strategically important and a leverage against the Meccan elites, because their trade caravans could be raided and captured. If, on the other hand, had he, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, been successful in his mission to At-Taif, and we know the whole story of Taif and what happened, and he went there and he was rejected. If he had been successful there, because of its proximity, closeness to Makkah, perhaps the Quraysh could have killed him and destroyed his work. This is a good example of how something that looks negative is positive in the long run. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's plan is always the best. The second incident from the seerah was the formation of the Ummah, with the brotherhood between the Muhajirun and the Ansar. This is unique because the Muhajirun, who were really refugees, were not put into camps, but were taken into the homes of the Ansar like their own family. This brought together two groups as one community, in a unique way, with Islam being the reason for the bond, instead of tribe and lineage. The migrants from Makkah, the Muhajirun, most of whom came with nothing, immediately had relief and a sense of belonging, and that formed one united community. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed Quran about this and called them Ummatan Wahida, and honored them by declaring that He, Jalla Jalaluhu, was the reason for the brotherhood. He said, Jalla Jalaluhu, Inna hadihi ummatukum ummatan wahida wa ana rabbukum fa'budun. In Surah Al-Anbiya, he said, this is indeed this religion, this Ummah, this brotherhood of yours is one brotherhood, and I am your Rabb, so worship me. And in another place, in Surah Al-Muminun, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, surely this religion, this brotherhood of yours is one, and I am your Rabb, so have my taqwa. The third was the covenant of Medina, which brought all the people in Medina, the Muslims, the Jews, and the polytheists, together on a common pact of mutual assistance and security. There was freedom for each group to continue to worship their gods and to live their lives according to their personal laws, but to unite if there was any external threat. If you want an example of a pluralistic, multi-religious, multi-racial society working harmoniously together, it's right there in the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The most significant thing about the 53 article document was that everyone accepted the leadership of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he became the ruler and arbitrator in all matters. Finally, we have the Treaty of Hudaybiyah, the Sulh of Hudaybiyah, which on the face of it again appeared to be one-sided and humiliating for the Muslims, but which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala called manifest victory, fathum mubeen. Allah revealed Quran and said, Inna fatahna laka fatham mubeen. Inna fatahna laka fathum mubeen. This was a victory for three reasons. The first one, because it was the first time that the Quraysh recognized Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam as a head of state, and the treaty was between him and the Quraysh of Makkah. The treaty was between Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the Quraysh, and we know the whole story of Sayyidina Ali writing this and so on and so forth. Until then it was, he's our nephew, he's our cousin, he's this, but now no more cousin and nephew, he's the head of state. The treaty was not between the Quraysh and the people of Medina, it was between Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the Quraysh. Second, it was a final test of obedience for the Sahaba to see if they would obey Rasulullah without question in a matter where many didn't agree with him and were unhappy about what was happening, what he was planning to do. Obedience is only when there is something which you don't like. I mean, if it's something you like, then where's the obedience? You won't do it anyway. The Sahaba passed this very difficult test, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgave them and said that he was pleased with them. Third, it was that thanks to Sulh Hudaybiyah, there was peace and suspension of hostilities, and this enabled the spread of Islam like never before. That is what enabled Rasulullah ﷺ to acquire the power to challenge the Quraysh on their own home territory. All these incidents show that to seek power and influence in society is very important if we want to change our situation. There are things that can only be done if you have power, and that is what we must focus on. Talking about power, we live in a country where an ordinary person can aspire to local and national leadership, unlike the countries where most of us come from. But do we know what to do to get there? Are we thinking about this? Today is my questions day, so let me ask you some more questions. What is the connection between the House of Representatives, the Congress and the Senate? What happens if the House of Representatives and Senate pass a law, but the President vetoes it? What is the career path for someone who wants to become a senator? What is the relationship between the Congress, the Supreme Court and the President of America? My message to our youth is as follows. Plan your careers with power in mind, not just money. Power to do good, to change the rules of the corrupt, merciless society that you have inherited. You didn't make it, but you can unmake it. But only if you want to and are willing to dedicate your life to it. Your life will be immensely satisfying, very interesting, great fun, and will leave a legacy of honor and be a sadaqa jariya. But it will not be comfortable or easy. This is a generational project. But if you don't step forward today, you will live to regret it for the rest of your lives. It is your life and your choice. May Allah make it easy for you. وصلى الله على نبي الكريم وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين برحمتك يا رب العالمين.